now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. This is our first commentary for 2021. I want to tell you a bit about what we're doing this year in the Cosmic Switchboard, and then I'll dive right into the insurgency, because that's what it is. Let's make no mistake. People, even relatively well-informed people, keep referring to what's happening or going to happen or potentially will happen as a counterinsurgency, but that's a total misunderstanding of the situation. Back to the update on what's been going on here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show. We'll be having my two colleagues, Dean and Liz, on the show more often. They will be doing commentaries and interviews and discussions amongst themselves. I'll be included at times. Dean will be interviewing me, and I'll have discussions with Liz, and there are times when Dean will be doing commentaries, and Liz will be doing commentaries, and Liz and Dean will be having discussions, etc., etc. And we have a lot of information to share, a lot of meaningful information, and we're looking forward to bringing that to you, our dear listeners. Well, the lights have started to go out. When the Germans, the Nazis, had taken over Europe, there was a saying that was bandied about, that the lights have gone out in Europe, right? Or the lights were going out, and then when the Nazis took over, then it became the lights have gone out. And what they meant by that was everything had changed, everything had been taken over, and darkness had descended, basically. And we're not quite there yet. It's in the process of unfoldment. And I would like to stress at the outset that this can be turned around. A lot of people are going to have to man up and woman up. And I'm going to talk more about that. Because all you freedom fighters of all nationalities, you have a high standard to live up to. There's been some great heroes and heroines that came before you that are your spiritual cheering section. They're looking down at you right now. And each and every one of you, and even people who don't listen to this podcast or have no interest in listening to this podcast, can make a meaningful difference and turn this around. We don't have to take the wrong fork in the road and wind up being rendered null and void as a race, essentially extinct, and those that survive being nothing more than Borg, plugged into the Borg collective. That doesn't have to happen. And we'll talk more about that as time goes on, because the consequences of taking the COVID vax are not just health issues and death, but it goes beyond the physical existence. It goes far beyond that. So as time goes on, we'll talk more and more about that. But there are a lot of heroes and heroines going back many millennia who fought for freedom. And they are looking down at us right now. Take your best shot. Make your move. Butts to move. I mean, there's no time like the present. And to do nothing is to accept what will undoubtedly come down the pike. Total tyranny, annihilation, everything else. So now is a time for people to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, beyond this, I will not retreat. And it's also time to really be mindful of who you allow into your inner circle. Whether it was all the spying in the communist countries after World War II, exemplified by the East German Stasi, and all the informants, all the snitching and ratting out of other people. And you go back to World War II in Europe, look at all the people in the French resistance that were betrayed by their fellow French men and French women. There's been a lot of betrayals. Look around you. Who do you want to be in the same foxhole with you? It's easy for me to, I don't want to say discard. That's, you make me sound too callous and hardened, but I guess one advantage of being a Scorpio dragon is I can let people go a lot easier than others. Generally, people don't get a second chance with me. Whether they're, you know, friends, acquaintances, family, it doesn't matter. If I deem somebody as being untrustworthy and a backstabber or, you know, communist, socialist, scumbag, right? They're not part of my inner circle. I keep them at arm's length. I want nothing to do with them. And they don't know my business. And that's how the circle stays unbroken. And people are going to have to get to that point in their heart and in their mind and stop trying to drag along dead wood. People that will turn you in at the first opportunity just so they can get a few crumbs thrown at them. I mean, just like I said, just look what happened in occupied France. Just French men and French women just turning each other in just to get some reward from the Germans. Just get some reward from the German security forces and the Gestapo. And there was a lot of that happened. So trust no one. It's always best to operate in cells instead of a mass movement. And also, at the outset, I should say there's a lot of hope being invested into the militia movement, and that's all well and good, and I do believe in an armed and well-regulated militia, absolutely 100% for the militias, but we have to be adults about it, and we have to be realistic and recognize that at least some of these militias have, for decades now, been penetrated, infiltrated by moles from the FBI, moles from the Army, moles from the CIA, moles from the DIA, just about every alphabet soup agency you can think of. It's the primary ones being the Bureau and Army Counterintelligence, CIA. They have moles inside at least some of these militia groups. So all it takes is one agent of influence that can cause all kinds of havoc, that has access to too much material, and that's a problem that a lot of people going forward are going to have. They don't understand the rudiments, the basics of operational security. Many people are prone to boastfulness and making extravagant claims, big-noting themselves. Always having to be the center of attention. If that would have gotten you killed back in World War II during the spy games against whether it was the Germans or Soviet intelligence or the Japanese military intelligence, Kempai Tai, fast forward to today with all the advanced surveillance capabilities that are available to so many of these intelligence agencies and privatized military firms. The last person you want to be around is some boastful, trash-talking, noisy, individual who draws unnecessary attention to himself or herself. Those big talkers, history shows, usually they get the least done, especially in a clandestine role and especially in a covert operations role, behind the line guerrilla warfare role, espionage role. They not only accomplish the least, they wind up getting the most people captured and killed. Okay? That's the kind of world we're living in now. Hey, but you signed up for this gig, Assignment Earth. Nowhere else to be. If you had to be boots in the ground and you had to have a tough assignment to have, where you can make a meaningful difference, unclog this bottleneck of souls endlessly recycling here, and then potentially can be recycled forever or bottled up, encapsulated, so to speak, forever because of this AI, nanotech, quantum cloud crap that they've developed. You see, the archons, i.e. the negative aliens, ETs, interdimensionals, various stripes, but particularly the negative ETs, reptilians, Draco, Mantis beings, which have interdimensional capability, many of them, they exist beyond linear time. So it was fairly simple for them to, I don't even know if the word wait has any meaning for them in this context, but okay, for our purposes here, let's just say it was no big deal for them to wait a couple of thousand years, because again, they exist outside of linear time, to wait a couple of thousand years for technology to once again get to this present state. And of course, they're guiding the technology along, and they give, you know, through all appearances, the impression that, oh, all this technology, these Apple iPhones and all these digital devices, these are homegrown, these are man-made. It was the inspiration that came into these humans that came up with all these bright ideas, right? Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I just had Jerry Marzinski and George Yigodek on the Switch podcast, and once again, we talked about these voices in people's heads, which are really entities, and we had just have to wonder where all these inspirations, ideas, the muses, the muse, if you will, what are they, where do they come from, what do they want? Just as these entities, using our own thought voices, can manipulate us into thinking that we thought up certain things and wind up saying or doing things we shouldn't do. Likewise, there's nothing to stop these malevolent entities from planting thoughts in the minds of these scientists and technicians and biochemists, right? You know, nothing simpler as far as I'm concerned. Because that's what they want. They want to give the impression all this technology is homegrown. When AI, at least the negative controlling, ever-expanding type of AI that we've become familiar with and what we're combating, this form of AI has been around all along. It's existed, you know, throughout the cosmos and the multiverse, but you know, it finally made its way to our little neck of the multiverse, our little corner of the multiverse. So, what we're talking about is, once again, all-out spiritual warfare manifesting on this, not just the spiritual plane, but on multiple planes and dimensions. And here we are, here you are. And Assignment Earth. So, let's get on with it. Let's do what we're... our higher selves or oversouls tasked us with, okay? Now, I want to talk about the concept of a counterinsurgency. I hear a lot of people say, oh, this is a counterinsurgency. Trump team and the White Hats are, you know, fighting this insurgency. And you've probably heard me refer to insurrection and counterinsurgency and stuff in the past, but I may have just mentioned it in passing or as an aside, but I want to make it very clear from my perspective, based on all my studies of insurgencies, counterinsurgencies, guerrilla warfare, exemplified by, for example, OSS SOE operations behind the lines in German-occupied Europe, right? World War II. The powers that be, the so-called deep state, they are not the insurgents, okay? They are the entrenched evil empire. I mean, that should be a no-brainer, and a lot of you people already know that, and you're going, what's Bartley going on about this for? But, it's important to get the terminology right, because then we can start to look at ways and means to dismantle this empire, all right? I mean, we need to look no further back than 9/11. These so-called insurgents, they controlled the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, NORAD, basically the entire Department of Defense, the CIA, NSA, FBI, the White House. I mean, you name it. They controlled it. So it's that same network, that same entrenched control system, responsible for the murder of the Kennedys, Bobby and Jack Kennedy, et cetera, et cetera. They're not the insurgents. They're the entrenched system. It's, if Trump is still in the game, it's Trump and whoever is following him and perhaps other rebellious factions, let's say, that we are not aware of. They are the insurgents. Let's make that very clear. They've got their work cut out for them. All right? So here's some of the things that these insurgents will need to do. It's too bad that Trump didn't invoke the Insurrection Act. He should have. Actually, he didn't even need to go that far, because my understanding of nuclear weapons security is there's always been an understanding that lethal force is authorized to protect nuclear weapons, nuclear technology, etc. So this notion of just letting this mindless puppet, Pedo Joe, right, take over, and he's going to cark it at some point, probably kill him off of COVID, and then Kamala Harris, my apologies to all the camels out there, Kamala Harris, not even black, her ancestry, at least half of it is from the subcontinent, just another fake trying to pass herself off as part of the mulatto militia, rather than the mulatto mafia. My apologies to the militias. So you have Pedo Joe, and when they make a mistake of putting a microphone in front of him, he boasts about how we stole the election, right? And then when you see Digital Joe is the guy who's upright, standing upright. He's speaking, and he's very, you can comprehend him. He makes sense, right? Well, that's Digital Joe. That's not real Joe. That's just like some kind of digital composite image. If you did a language analysis of the speeches and the statements made by Digital Joe, you'd probably find four or five different writers that come up with Digital Joe's comments, right? So, I mean, Pedo Joe could be dead for all we know by now. But the point of relevance is, Pedo Joe, in our example, was the presidential contender. And if Pedo Joe is inaugurated, with the hooks that the Chinese communists have in him, the way the Chinese communists had their hooks in Bill Clinton, by the way, with James Riady, Indonesian of Chinese heritage, billionaire, had unfettered access to the Oval Office, would walk in and out and basically told Bill Clinton where to get on and where to get off. That's way back when. And, of course, Bill Clinton and his Bridges to America Partnership for Peace, just having countless foreign troops from the former, particularly from the former Warsaw Pact countries, come and train endlessly in America. I don't think that ever stopped, that whole process. And it had been going on before then, but never to that degree when Clinton took over. And then fast forward today, you have Pedo Joe / Digital Joe. Well, if Pedo Joe is president, and the way the Chinese communists, the Chi-Coms, have their hooks in them, well, basically that means that they've got control of the nuclear arsenal. The Chi-Coms have been spying shamelessly on Los Alamos, Livermore Lab, all these Department of Energy weapons development centers. If the Chinese and all the contractors that work for them, the Chi-Mac case, just so many Chinese espionage cases. So the notion that Pedo Joe could even be a candidate for president, within taken within the context of nuclear weapon security, is an absurdity. And so, rather than invoke the Insurrection Act, which he could have done, Trump could have, which is too late now, pretty much, right? Well, I guess it's not too late. I mean, the inauguration for Pedo / Digital Joe isn't for like another 10 or 11 days. But the threat of deadly force is authorized to protect nuclear weapons. So if some Joe on the street, not Pedo Joe in our example, but so some Joe on the street tries to access nuclear weapons in transit, or tries to steal a nuclear plutonium capsule or something crazy, the security is authorized to gun them down, to shoot them, to kill them, right? Now, I'm not advocating assassinating this, that, or the other person. I'm just saying that Trump could have used that as a wild card. He could have said, no, not use the deadly force option, but what he could have done is just arrest him for being like a communist spy that's going to have access to the nuclear codes, in theory. I just don't see that, Pedo Joe / Digital Joe will actually control nuclear weapons if he is ever, installed. But as far as launching the insurgency, getting back to the insurgency, they could have said, no, this is a threat to the nuclear arsenal of the United States of America. Deadly force is authorized. We don't have to go that far. We're just going to arrest the sewer scum, all of them, for potentially turning over the entire nuclear arsenal, essentially, to the Chinese or whoever else, right? So I just wanted to put that out there, that's the level of seriousness we're talking about. And now what we're hearing with Operation, what are they calling it? Warp Speed. I was going to say Time Warp, but Operation Warp Speed, where they're going to roll out, the military is going to roll out the COVID vaccines, and the two principal groups that will be targeted in the U.S. military are cyber warfare experts. Surprise, surprise. And sailors on board nuclear missile submarines. Well, gee, that's interesting. The nuclear missile submarines, the SSBNs, they were always the wild card. In theory, and this theory was put to the test with the exposure of the John Walker spy ring, that's another story, but you would think that the U.S. Navy tightened up their comms to their submarines, more since then. But the, as part of the triad of the land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles, you had the nuclear weapons and thermonuclear weapons delivered by bombers, I mean, think in the old classic Cold War days, Strategic Air Command, right? General Curtis LeMay and all that. And then the other leg of the triad was the SSBNs, submarine launch ballistic missiles, right? In theory, subs being stealthy, even if the enemy had wiped out all the land-based ICBM silos and launch control facilities, and even if they'd nuked a number of the air bases from whence the bomber forces would depart from, it was believed that the submarines, the nuclear missile submarines, would have high survivability because they're very stealthy and very difficult to find, and they would still be able to launch a mega retaliatory strike. And that's another issue. During the Clinton years, once again, the doctrine on launch on warning was done away with. Launch on warning stipulated that if it appeared that a nuclear / thermonuclear strike, whether by bombers or missiles, either ICBMs or cruise missiles, was imminent, or rather was ongoing. In actual fact, America was in the process of being hammered with nuclear and thermonuclear weapons. Launch on warning meant that as soon as it was determined with a distant early warning system that yes, these are ICBMs coming over the North Pole, these are Russian, Chinese, Soviet, take your pick, bombers loaded with nuclear weapons coming, they didn't have to wait and sustain a first strike, a nuclear strike. America didn't. They can just launch on warning, right? Okay, it looks like we're going to be nuked. Let's launch. Clinton put an end to that with the executive order, basically saying that America has to withstand a nuclear and thermonuclear onslaught before it could even think of retaliating, right? Now, that's if there's any command and control left. Of course, there's stories of dead man switches, and the Russians, supposedly in the Soviet era, had this where, even if the Soviet Union was a smoking radioactive ruin, they had a computer system set up that, the missiles were what was left of them would launch anyway, right? So, I mean, that's really degrading the defensive posture of America. What these scumball, communist, Democrat, Luciferian sewer scum, like Bill Clinton, and then now the Democrats, the communist, Luciferians today, what they're doing. Where Clinton does away with launch on warning, basically saying, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take the first nuclear onslaught, and we'll decide then if we're going to retaliate. And then fast forward to today, where you have Pedo / Digital Joe. In theory, he'd be the guy with his finger on the nuclear button, but no, it'd be some like Chinese guy over his shoulder, right? So, when I talked about Trump having the authority to say, wait a minute, our nuclear arsenal is under threat, deadly force is authorized. I mean, I think in theory he could have sent out all kinds of hit teams and conduct either hits or conduct snatch raids to just think of these special ops guys trained to basically kidnap people, right? Just go out there and just, conduct a snatch raid. Similar to what the Army Special Forces did in Germany when they, a few weeks back now, went and got that huge hoard of proof, evidence from this Dominion data point center in Germany somewhere, right? The initial reports came out Delta Force. I didn't believe that for one second. I knew it had to be some Army Special Forces unit that were trained for that particular role. Okay, so I just wanted to talk about this as a backdrop of all the stuff that's going on, because this is the stakes we're talking about, folks. Okay, the nuclear arsenal, nuclear weapons, and now there's the potential to really screw things up. Don't be surprised if they try to manipulate things so that the U.S. engages in a war with Iran, which would be absolutely ruinous. It would probably take the form of some kind of false flag where a bunch of Americans are killed. Either the Iranians will be blamed. And because what's been going on is members of the administration, not Trump loyalists, these are scumbags who are scum, have been in negotiations with the main dissident group in Iran, which they'd been arming, financing, and guiding and manipulating for some time. And they've been trying to goad them into committing acts of terrorism, which would be blamed on Iran, right? So the dissident Iranian forces that are hostile to the Iranian government are being goaded by the traitors. I should rephrase that, because I want to be accurate as far as, you know, nomenclature and descriptions are concerned. These were never traitors. They never belonged. They were just, you know, scum that had been inserted there all along. A traitor has to belong. As Kim Philby said, he was asked what it felt like to betray his comrades and his colleagues. He said, well, you know, in order to betray, you have to belong first. I never belonged, right, is what Kim Philby said. And he was just a diehard communist scumbag to begin with. So a lot of these apparent traitors in the administration and throughout all these different federal and state and local agencies, they're not traitors. They were just scum to begin with. America haters. America last. Freedom last, right? So these scumbags within the administration, unbeknownst to Trump, were financing and trying to goad these dissident forces within Iran to conduct terrorist operations, which will eventually result in the death of a lot of Americans, thus being the pretext for a war. I just hope Trump doesn't fall for that, right? And then if Trump doesn't do it, let's say that actually transpires, and that happens, and a false flag occurs, a number of Americans are killed, or American servicemen are killed, American sailors on board naval vessels are killed, whatever the case may be. And then the media will all once again rise up in unison. Oh, Trump, he was soft on Iran, and this is the inevitable result. He needs to do something. He's weak. He's putting America in danger, yada, 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 right? And just the whole never-ending gaslighting. And hopefully Trump doesn't take the bait. There's some very good websites out there where you can get a lot of this information. And by going to these websites and listening to some of these podcasts and, you know, doing the research, it seems that the Iranians, and, you know, they're being prudent about all this. They know that they've been in the crosshairs for some time. In a wag-the-dog scenario, I can see them trying to have a new major war with Iran. But apparently the Iranians had deployed a number of their cruise missiles to a number of different countries, including Syria, elsewhere throughout the region, right? So depending on the range of these missiles, some of them could be ballistic and some of them could be cruise missiles. Some could be launched from ships and fast patrol boats. Depending on the range, I mean, that brings American bases, NATO bases, in Italy, in Sicily, you know, different parts of the Med, into range, right? So, and the USS Nimitz battle group has been sent back. First they were recalled because Trump wanted to ease the tensions there. Now they've been sent back, right? So that's another thing we have to factor into all this. If they manipulate things so there's a war with Iran, which could become a wider war, extends beyond the Near East, involving potentially the Russians and or the Chinese, right? So the last thing America needs is a war with Iran. We need all the patriotic American servicemen and servicewomen to be standing up for the Constitution. Because when you fight the Chinese communists, when you fight the Russians, and when you fight the Iranians, right, you're fighting homogeneous cultures. Like, for example, if you get into a war with the Russians, you're just fighting Russians who have pride of their ethnicity, they have pride of their nationality, they have pride of their heritage, they have pride of their history. Their minds aren't cluttered with all this gender confusion and gender dysphoria and, you know, white guilt and multiculturalism and none of that. Their minds aren't polluted with that stuff. Same with the Chinese, Chi-Coms. Their history began after the communists took over China, right? Cultural Revolution, Great Leap Forward, everything was wiped out. Prior to that, it was their version of a Great Reset. So when you're fighting Chinese People's Liberation Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and all their operatives, all their spies, you're fighting fanatical Chinese communists. Their minds aren't polluted with, you know, boy, girl, a boy's a girl's a boy. Oh, don't offend this person. gender dysphoria, white guilt, cultural appropriation. None of that. You're just fighting hardened, fanatical Chinese communists. And there's lots of them. And they're everywhere. And they've developed technology at an astounding rate. I mean, you know, their hackers, their cyber warriors are some of the best on the planet. And I'm sure that they've had their own version of Roswell by now. Certainly, a country as big as China, there's going to be alien craft at some point come to grief and crash there, too, or be shot down. I mean, if they're landing in some tiny country in Central or South America somewhere, crash land and it's retrieved, you can imagine a country as big as Russia or China, you know, what they've recovered over the years, right? So, no, they cannot, ideally, hopefully not, get into a war with Iran. That would be disastrous. If there is other countries in the region that want to wage war with Iran, let them. That's their issue. The Americans can't get involved in that. So, okay, thus far I've talked about, a number of issues and just getting warmed up. So, okay, let's dive right into it. Before I delve into all that, let me do a quick catch-up. I've been listening to shows like Mike Adams, Natural News, his BrightEon.com network is very good, and I recommend you check it out. It's kind of like a counterpart to BitChute, but it's something owned and operated and set up by Mike Adams. And Mike Adams has been getting good intel lately, and once in a while I listen to shows like Israeli News Live and a few others. And as always, I kind of filter it, all this information, through what I've come to understand about what's going on and come up with my own ideas, concepts, conclusions. But I do respect the info that Mike Adams put out, and he's actually one of the best out there right now. He points out, well, before I get started on that, according to Israeli News Live, Israel and elements of the U.S. government have initiated hostilities against the Iranians. I was talking about that earlier in this podcast. I have to go to an Israeli website like Debka Files and maybe southfront.org and hopefully get more information about this. But apparently, Iranian positions in Syria were attacked. And not only that, though, but Iran itself, the country itself, was attacked. And according to the guy, Steve Ben-Nun, I think his name is, on Israeli News Live, he talked about how once again they went after the nuclear enrichment plants, the centrifuge cascade plants, etc., etc. Let's see how that plays out. Hopefully it won't expand. And Mike Adams has said that according to some of his sources, the Joint Chiefs will go along with Trump's Insurrection Act, but in true horse trading fashion, they'll only do so if Trump agrees to go to war with China. And of course, war with China only. I think that may have been the agenda all along, to get dragged into a war with China. So that's a very interesting and profoundly disturbing idea that, and I have no reason to doubt this, because the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the high-ranking members of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines generally are scum these days. The great commanders of World War II, great Air Force commanders like General Carl Spatz and General Curtis LeMay, and great Marine generals, General Roy Geiger, they would look down at these scumballs today, and they would just, not only would they be disgusted, but if they were in physical form, they would just take these guys out for being the scum and the traitors they are. So I have no doubt that, well, let me rephrase that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Joint Chiefs resorted to horse trading. Okay, Trump, you want us to do this Insurrection Act for you? Fine. We have to go to war with China. And, you know, Mike Adams made some very good points. The way things are right now, maybe war with China is not only inevitable, but maybe at some level desirable. So, but keep in mind everything I said about the Chinese, too, because China will not be some little country that the U.S. can just bitch slap and just wipe out, and it's a whole different can of worms. They've had a lot of time to entrench themselves throughout the West. You want to talk about sleepers and sleeper cells, that's, I don't even know if that accurately describes what the Chinese have already firmly established throughout the West, particularly the United States. And like I said previously, during the Clinton administration, Chinese billionaires, James Riady and people like him, had Clinton in their back pocket. There was one incident when a U.S. reconnaissance plane was flying over some Chinese, I think, merchant vessels. And they were up to no good. They were doing something that was decidedly unmerchant seaman-like on board these ships. And I can't remember the details. It was in one of Bill Gert's book, who passed away a few years ago. But anyway, one of the Americans in the plane, I think the pilot or the co-pilot or someone in that pilot compartment, got lased. Someone on board the Chinese vessel used a laser and zapped the eyes of the Americans flying that plane. And the guy who was zapped started coming down with severe headaches, all kinds of problems, losing his vision and whatnot, because this wasn't like the kind of lasers you see at a rock concert. These were like full-on military-grade lasers. And what did the Clinton administration do? They covered it up. They covered it up and even threatened. If the people involved made a big deal about it, they'd be sorry. So that just gives you an idea of the attitude of these leftist, democratic, socialist, Luciferian sewer scum, right? The oath of allegiance means nothing to them. In fact, I've said before, I've taken part in retirements, not retirement ceremonies, but re-enlistment ceremonies, and someone wanted to re-up in the U.S. Navy. And this is back in the Clinton days. Instead of swearing an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, they made them swear an oath to follow the orders of the Commander-in-Chief. Two radically different things. So if they do go to war with China, that's a whole another can of worms. So, okay, let me talk about a few other things while I still got time in this first segment. What are some of the things that would have to happen if the good guys, and remember, we don't have to hang our hats on Donald Trump, okay? I mean, it would be nice if he did something, but our freedom is entirely of our own making. It's not dependent on anyone else, any institution. It would be nice if you know, Donald Trump and company did something. We'll have to wait and see. Time is rapidly running out and before Digital Joe has his inauguration. There are National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. right now. And I'm not one of those impatient types. Sure, I would like to know more, but I understand OPSEC being what it is. And I can understand that Trump would say one thing, but mean or intend to do something entirely different. That's just the way you have to operate when you're surrounded by treacherous scum like he is. So all this talk coming out about Trump wanting to throw the towel in and he's conceding and et cetera, and he's saying these things in his meetings, well, half or more of the people that attend his meetings are treacherous scum. So, of course, if he really intended to not throw in the towel, that's exactly what he would say in these meetings. So people shouldn't read too much into that. Another thing also, if the grid goes down, if the internet goes down, if suddenly you can't tune into the lying scum media in America, okay? That's not necessarily a bad thing, folks, okay? Because they're going to have to find a way to shut down this lying scum media. And if it means that they have to take down large parts of the electrical grid to do that, but the end goal, the objective, eventually is to restore the Constitutional Republic, in a long-term analysis, that's not a bad thing, folks. So what if people have to endure a little bit of hardship? What's that compared to all the Americans and people in the world after the Wall Street crash, 1929, deliberately staged, plunged the world into a dreadful depression? And a lot of these people were destitute. I mean, think of the Dust Bowls in Middle America, Oklahoma, and places like that. People having to become migrant workers, going from one place to another just to try to get food, or a father having to leave his family someplace and go earn income somewhere, clear across America, and then come back later on if his family was still around, okay? So, I mean, that's what they had to put up with back in the day. And then, after the Depression, whammo, right into World War II.
All right, we've reached the end of part one. You've been listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, and this is our first commentary for 2021. Now, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.